Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio Live. Pleasure to have you here. Also, pleasure to have Susan Shaw, PhD, here on our show, one of the brightest minds of our generation. She's often been saluted in the media for her accomplishments, not just that she is an advanced education expert in engineering, but also she's made her entrance into the industrial engineering field as well at a time when women didn't have much of a presence in STEM careers. Susan notes that there are two meanings to the name she chose for her business, SOS Consulting. Of course, you know, this is her return visit to our show. And if you heard the previous conversations that we've had with Susan, she's absolutely amazing. So it's such a pleasure to welcome her back as she updates us on new exciting things that she's been working on since we chatted last. Of course, you know, it's connected to her initials, SOS Consulting, and a name well known in certain circles. There's also the maritime meaning of SOS. When companies seek her support, they usually are in need of quick help. Even her website has a meaningful URL, executetocompete.com. Once they execute the plans she designs, each firm is in a more competitive position. Her firm focuses on an organizational health, which is achieved through more effective leadership, strategic team building, clarity, and tangible opportunities for improvements. Susan and her teams collaborate with the client at every step of the engagement, from defining the strategic goals to results. And together, they help organizations to strengthen and affirm their leadership, improve production, and better engage their employees. Susan will be appearing, of course, as she is here as part of the Empowering Series. She recalls a time when she was the only woman at the table during engineering meetings, and growing up as the only female in a house with three brothers taught her to speak out and stand up for herself. She's proud to be recognized as a trailblazer, someone who broke the proverbial glass ceiling. My pleasure to welcome her Radio Live, Susan Shaw of SOS Consulting, and she's in Front Royal, Virginia. Pleasure to have her here. Welcome back, Susan, to Close Up Radio. Looking forward to our invigorating conversation like we had last time.
My pleasure. I'm excited as well.
She's pumped and ready to go, folks. You know, you were the only woman at the table for many years in your career. Maybe you can share with us some of those highlights back when those days were happening, when you worked as an industrial or quality engineer for companies like DuPont, and then you learned sort of hands-on right there all the ins and outs of processing.
Yeah, I was fortunate that early in my career I worked for corporations in which women were recognized and respected, and I never experienced at least obvious discrimination or microaggressions. So I was very fortunate that I worked with companies that did not tolerate that kind of behavior, and I was recognized and respected for my knowledge. I do know women, however, that was not the case, but I was very fortunate. But I did have a local woman who asked me to speak to her granddaughter about my experience as a woman in the STEM field. And as we're talking, this woman said, Susan, did you ever experience these issues? And I said, no, very thing that I just said about working for some companies that didn't tolerate that kind of behavior. And her response was, Susan, I know nobody would ever say things like that. You're too confident in yourself for them to challenge that. And I said, yeah, I guess, you know, my parents never said that I couldn't do something because I was a girl. That was never a reason for me not to do anything. You know, I was treated in that respect the same as my brothers. So I developed that confidence from an early age to say my voice, to be involved in things, and to do things that maybe weren't considered traditional for a girl.
again, were forthright and you made your mark and continued to, which I think is fantastic. Your pioneer spirit actually led you to be featured on our series, Close Up Radio Live and the Empowering Women series. Tell us maybe a message you have for women who aspire to certain careers and the words you share in a talk at Penn State a couple of years ago, which must have been quite an honor
sure.
to do that at Penn State, too.
Well, let me provide a little bit of context. I was supporting a program for graduate students that are exploring careers in industry versus staying in academia. So these are master's and PhD students. And I joined every afternoon. They had presentations. Fellow alums or other industry representatives participate with them with presentations in the morning. And then they had group activities in the afternoon, and I was there to support those group activities. I came in a little bit early one day, and they were still having a presentation by an HR professional that was talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion issues in industry. And one of the young women, who is a biology major, asked a question about something on the order of, will I be facing the old boys network when I go to work in industry? And that led to a very energetic conversation with the HR professional as well as the students around the room. I almost stepped forward as the woman in the room that was in a male-dominated profession working in a male-dominated industry. But they were already behind schedule, and so I opted not to, but talked to the facilitator, the moderator of the program, about doing that the next day. Unfortunately, the next day we'd had, this was 2022, we'd had a student who had tested positive for COVID, and the policy of the university then was that we no longer met face-to-face. So we went to a virtual environment, and it didn't lend itself for me to step in and provide a presentation to them. So I did a Zoom meeting with them later and shared, actually it gave me some time to put together some statistics. I had read an article or a report from McKinsey, I believe it was, that showed some statistics about how women may enter the workforce at roughly the same numbers as, and percentages as men, but the first step up the leadership ladder to a manager, it's significantly different. And then that, of course, cascades through all the rest of the rungs in the ladder. And so I was able to share that with them. Yes, you know, you will face, well, as I said to them, I said, you know, women in the workplace are expected to do their job, take care of their appearance. There is a double standard with between women and men and women in terms of what we wear and what we look like, how we take care of our physical appearance. And also do the unpromotable tasks, you know, make the coffee, make the copies, take notes for the meetings that are really don't contribute to your promotions. And then, of course, to take care of our families at home as well. So we had a conversation about that, and I concluded and told them that as women, they needed to stand tall and to stand together in confidence of their expertise, the values that they bring to their work, and their worth to the organization, and to grab the men that support them and have them stand with them too.
It's amazing. It really, really is. You're such a go-getter. Now you run a consulting company known by your initials, SOS. Maybe you can share with us and explain what makes you different from other consultants in terms of your actual unique approach and your principles.
Sure. Well, first of all, those are my initials, SOS. My parents gave those initials to me on purpose. I think my father thought that it would be kind of amusing if I had initials of SOS, but my mother always said that it was divinely inspired, that I always wanted to help people, and so SOS kind of goes along with that. As a consulting business, my focus is really to help people flourish, to help them do well in their job, do well in their organization, so that overall they can support their communities, their employees, and you know, it's kind of a win-win for everyone to flourish and grow and do well. So I think the current phrase that you might see in some of the business literature is to do well while doing good. And
I like that.
Unfortunately, a lot of large consulting outfits overpromise and underdeliver, and so that's not the kind of reputation that I want. That's not who I am as an individual. That I'm not going to promise you something if I don't think I can deliver or over-deliver. So that's not the mindset of everyone else. And then I think, you know, what makes me successful is my tenacity. I'm going to make sure we get it done. We're going to do what we said we were going to do in a way that, again, is helpful, supportive, allows you to grow and develop and accomplish your objectives. I'm not going to come in with a hammer and do what Susan wants to do. We're going to do it together so we collaborate. I don't come in with a solution. You know, the leadership in the organization know the organization far better than I ever will. They live it every day. And so my job is to help them to recognize what they know and to perhaps give them new tools so that they can solve the problems themselves and be able to sustain it over time.
Which is the key, is sustaining and also having the resilience too, which is something that you definitely have. This is a this is something fantastic. This is part of a testimonial from a past engagement with Susan's experience and guidance. She's helped provide the foundation of a top-notch quality management system that resulted in our organization acquiring multiple ISO certifications. Congratulations on that, Susan. Tell us what that all means to a manufacturer.
Sure. If listeners aren't aware, quality management systems, the most common system in the world is the ISO 9000 series or ISO 9001. It is an international standard that's focused on developing an integrated set of processes and tools that translate an organization's strategy into operational actions that drive improvement across the organization on a daily basis. And this organization was registered ISO 9001. Didn't quite understand it, I think, when they got started. And despite having that level of status, was still struggling with some quality issues and quality problems and didn't quite understand why. So we diagnosed that together, understood what were the root causes and addressed those root causes. They were in an industry that in the United States more or less requires registration to ISO 9001. The automotive industry and the aerospace industry in the United States pretty much require that to be a supplier into that market, that industry. That's a requirement. In other places of the world, in Europe and Asia in particular, it's across more than those two industries. They were able to not only sustain their registration, but to improve it so that those quality issues that they were experiencing were no longer a daily struggle, and expand their operations. And now they are actually in Asia and in Europe and have recognition by all major automotive manufacturers for their products. And so their business has grown substantially. They've designed and started up a whole new facility without a hiccup in any of their quality or their schedules because they had the systems in place to support that growth and to be recognized by their customers with it.
That's amazing. It really is. You not only broke the mold for women, but you've also been honored many times, Susan, for your accomplishments by all kinds of different media and industry associations. Even we at Close Up Television Radio honor you as well. What do you think is the key to winning?
Well, I think I've mentioned my key two words already, tenacity and collaboration.
Yes, right. They do. I would say that, exactly. I would say that those are two that come to mind when describing you as well in the interactions that we've had. And those are great things that you can show your clients how they can create for themselves, which is so important, right? If they don't have that, they don't have the confidence, and they don't have the clarity. You've been there. You've worked your way up the ranks. You've dealt with all kinds of good, bad, and ugly, and the craziness of it all.
Yeah, the good, bad, and the ugly. Yes.
Right, and sailed through and continued to sail through it all. So one of the things that I think, and I know I've said this before, that makes you stand out is you've done the homework and you walk the walk, talk the talk. So you can absolutely relate to your clients with the things they're going through and how they're looking for clarity and confidence. Tell us about that.
Yes, one of my personal key values is transparency and openness. And so I freely share, you know, what I have experienced and what I have learned with them. And sometimes, you know, they can be quite vulnerable, but most people respect that. And then I think that helps them to respond in kind so that I can really help them and get to the root cause.
Which is the key to it all, getting to the root cause and dealing with it.
Yes.
Is there one thing you want listeners to remember from this conversation while hearing you today? I recall something about the importance of people and organizational health as opposed to just technology.
Yes, I know, you know, all the talk is artificial intelligence, automation, robotics, all these things. But, you know, when it really comes down to it, business is all about people. People make the products, people design the products, people sell the products, people service the products. So it all comes down to people. I had a professor in undergraduate school who said one time in class, and I remember distinctly writing this down, so much so that years later I went to find it in my notes, that he said, there are always two solutions to a problem. There's the right solution and the correct solution. And the correct solution is the one that the textbooks and the theory will tell you to implement. So it's, you know, more technical, more theoretical. And then there's the right solution, and that's the one that you can implement and sustain, and that's a key phrase, and sustain with and through people. And if you think about any changes that you have been involved in throughout your career, if the people weren't on board with it or they weren't respected in the process, it either didn't happen or it didn't stick around very long. So I think that's been a core piece of what I have done and how I have modeled my business, is to focus on the people, with and through people. Because, again, I don't come in with a solution. They know their business. They know their processes far better than I do. But how can I support them in helping to identify the root cause and then bringing the right tools to bear to it?
You know, that is so true. Yeah, and the fact that, you know, you do it in a way that really resonates with them is part of the key to it all. You know, you have an opportunity to, because of where you are, you make your home in the northern part of the Shenandoah Valley, region known as the breadbasket of the South, boasting a manufacturing cluster of polymer-based products. You love the landscape, the natural splendor, and, of course, you know, everyone, all of these things, the blooming of the dogwoods, the redbud, the forsythia, it all expresses this one sign that you're more of a warm, down-to-earth partner than a rocket scientist, right?
I hope so.
You know, I mentioned some
I love the mountains. I love the mountains. And at this time of year in particular, like you said, the redbud, the dogwood, the forsythia, and azaleas, it's just beautiful.
It is.
Nature's beauty.
Year, isn't it? Nature's beauty, absolutely. And that is that's a beautiful thing to be surrounded by, because it could be very, very inspiring. You know, You are a trailblazer. You grew up as the only female in the house with three brothers. That taught you to speak out and stand up for yourself, right?
Yes. Well, they jokingly call me Queen Bee, and then I'm pretty good at bossing them around, too.
That is funny. Can you share with us maybe a success story of an opportunity that you've had with one of your clients where they, you know, were maybe struggling or just in a tough spot and you were able to help them, you know, get what they need to get in order to facilitate the things that they need in their lives?
Well, first story that comes to mind is my first client was in the printing industry, and they had, before I ever engaged with them, had realized that they had approached quality and improvement from a very kind of art perspective. In the printing industry, they had viewed what they did as an art, not a science, and that they needed to utilize some of the tools that were available that were more data-oriented than what they had traditionally used. And they brought in things like Six Sigma and some lean manufacturing tools and techniques and weren't getting the results that they anticipated. And one of their new leaders, having had experience in General Electric, said, well, here were some things that we learned when it didn't work. And part of it was about getting some of the tools down at the shop floor level and engaging teams in doing improvement on a day-to-day basis. So they embarked on a journey to do that kind of work, again, before I started to work with them, and I was introduced to one of those key leaders. And she said, you know, we're having some success with this, but it's very small. It's, you know, like two or three plant sites. How do we grow this? So I worked with her and a team of other folks across the organization, and we developed, it was more than a process or training, it was really a total system that involved the people components, some data-oriented tools, some systems, and utilizing some technology, because we needed to make results visible and shareable across the corporation, so we did need to tap into some IT resources. And we were able to expand it in the matter of a year and a half, 18 months, across 26 plant sites from the original three. And the results that they achieved from that was, I think it was 10% year over year for the 4 years that I worked with them. And then that had ripple effects out into their relationship with their customers, because they were able to commit to more and new and bigger jobs than they'd been able to do before, because they were more consistent in their work and in their delivery of their work, so they could commit to such jobs with a client and say, we're going to be able to put this on the press this day and have it done, you know, 2 days later or whatever. They were able to make those kind of commitments to clients, which brought in more work for them, as well as reducing costs. And the energy level on the shop floor was very different. I remember being in one of their facilities in Ohio and waiting out in the hallway to speak to one of the managers, and one of the lead pressmen was in there arguing his case for his team to be the next one to implement this approach. And she was logically working him through the criteria that they'd used to sequence implementation, and he was getting more and more anxious about fighting for his team to be on the list. And When I met with her, I said, I want to meet this guy. Can I go out on the floor and talk to him afterwards? And so they took me out to meet with him, and I said, so why were you so adamant? What was it that you wanted by doing this? And he pointed to a team across the manufacturing building. I want what they have. And I said, well, I don't understand what they have that you don't have. What is it that they have? And he said, they have their weekends. I said, so explain. I don't work here daily, so tell me what that means. He said, well, if we don't meet our schedule with our clients by Thursday, then we get scheduled on the weekend. And I don't know whether I can commit to anything with my family until Thursday at noon. I don't want to live that way anymore, Susan. And so the team's, the whole energy level just went way up, because they were invested in making this work.
And that's what's important.
And part of the reason why they saw such significant financial impacts.
Right. And that's the key, is the investment that's being made and sticking
in the people. In the people. Because we were training them, we were supporting them, we were coaching them, and they were seeing the impact not only was it having on their daily work, but on their personal lives.
Exactly right. And that's key to all of this. It really is.
Yes.
Your firm.
And the
is
thing that
defined.
Also warms my heart is that that goes out into the community. People leave work happier, healthier. That goes out into the community. That goes home with them.
That's because your firm is defined by its customer-centric results-oriented approach, as well as that set of values that include the openness, the honesty, the integrity, and respect. All of that is very important, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And it's not something that you find everywhere else all the time. So these are attributes that are very near and dear to your heart and that you want to project, but also want to live, and you want to show your clients how they can as well.
I incorporate them into everything that I do.
What is something else exciting you might want to share coming up, perhaps, since we chatted last on Close Up Radio Live?
Since we chatted last, I have become certified to the six types of working genius, and I will be delivering that for a community group here in my own community next Monday. Actually, I have 12 leaders across the community that I have signed up to participate in that training, and then our goal, our hope is that they will determine how to work together using their geniuses, their gifts, to address commonly problems in our community or needs that we have in our community.
I like that. That's wonderful. It's all great work that you do, Susan. We're talking to Susan Schall of SOS Consulting. If you'd like to connect with her and make contact, you can go to execute2compete.com, and that's the number 2, and I'll spell the entire thing out for you, E-X-E-C-U-T-E, and then the number 2, and then compete, C-O-M-P-E-T-E.com. This was really a fantastic conversation, as always. Anything you'd like to leave our listeners with, maybe a quick thought of inspiration and positivity?
I think I said the main things about it's all about people. It's about focusing on doing the right things, being focused on the customer and their needs, recognizing what they bring to the table, which is their knowledge and experience of the organization. Do what you love.
Do
what you love, and that you know you've been gifted to do, and then work with other people in the places that you don't have gifts in, but you have a passion to do some good in the world.
Those are the words of Susan Schall of SOS Consulting. Go to execute2compete.com to learn more. Susan, another fabulous conversation. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope to chat again real soon, and looking forward to that. And hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you once again, Susan.
Yes.
You enjoy your day, and thanks for all of the wit and wisdom, Susan Schall. Here on Close Up Radio Live, we appreciate her. We appreciate you as well. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, come see us again on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.